Now, Mr. Turner, you are the go-to guy for why the tobacco war was so important to Hopkinsville, Christian County, and our region, really.
Yes, the Night Rider War, the effort of the Silent Brigade, as it first called, involved a 35-county area lying along the Kentucky-Tennessee line from Russellville, Kentucky, and Springfield, Tennessee, on the east, to Murray, Kentucky, and Parrish, Tennessee, on the west. And it was the most pronounced activity of military aggression, also to incite a tremendous cultural discussion all the way between the Civil War and the Civil Rights Movement of the 1960s and 70s.
The basis for this disruption to life is what?
James B. Duke, better known as Buck Duke, later the benefactor of Duke University in Durham, North Carolina. Through his monopolistic effort of the American Tobacco Trust, placed a monopoly upon the sale of dark tobacco in the Black Patch, this 35-county area in western Kentucky and western Tennessee. And when he placed this stronghold on the sale of tobacco, then the farmers of the Black Patch, in desperation, rose up and fought that tobacco trust. And they first did it through the Planters Protective Association, which held annual meetings in the fall at Guthrie, Kentucky. And when they saw that it was not proving forceful enough, then a group, an element within the Planters Association, organized the Silent Brigade or the Night Riders and went about the country attempting to convince other farmers who had failed to join the association and hold their tobacco, thus to drive the price up, to convince them it would be to their best advantage to join the association. And they carried on their activities between about 1904 and 1910, 1911. They did it by scraping plant beds in the spring, whipping farmers who would not join the association along in the summer, and then to burn their barns in the fall before the tobacco was loaded on wagons for transport to the various markets that were about. Those principal markets were Hopkinsville and Russellville and Princeton in Kentucky and Clarksville in Tennessee.
Were there particular individuals responsible for the association's actions?
Well, we'll first of all start with the association, which disavowed any claim of connection to the Night Riders. The association was organized by a group of very prominent farmers and a few businessmen, both in Kentucky and Tennessee, principally led by Charlie Fort of Robertson County, Tennessee, and his friend Felix Ewing, who was a farm tobacco producer on the very largest scale. And they were joined by a group of men here in Kentucky as well, attempting to enforce the boycott that was the incentive, the motivation of the Tobacco Association. When that failed, then a group of men in Kentucky really took the bull by the horn, so to speak, and organized the Night Riders. And the alleged leader, and please keep in mind that in the ensuing trial, that all the leaders were found innocent. And so we must say they were alleged leaders, included Dr. David Amos, A-M-O-S-S, a beloved country doctor at Cobb in Caldwell County. And he was supported by his second-in-command, Guy Dunning, a farmer who lived between Cobb and Wallonia on the line between Caldwell and Tree Counties. Those men were capable of whipping up a group of farmers and equipped them with the knowledge of military strategy to go forth in companies and attempt to coerce farmers to join the association. And these were the two men who principally were charged in the indictments brought by the grand jury for the destruction of public and private property. Those indictments leading to one of the most celebrated trials in the history of Western Kentucky. We know it as the Night Rider trial, and we will, for the first time this year, in the same original courtroom, conduct for about an hour excerpts of the 1,000-page testimony of the trial. And Dr. Amos and Guy Dunning and others had charges filed upon them by the grand jury, based particularly upon 5 different night riders who talked, who shared names and places and events. And so in that trial that came in March of 1911, Dr. Amos was accused of leading the raid on Hopkinsville on the 7th of December 1907. And after a week-long trial, Dr. Amos and all of those others indicted by the grand jury were found not guilty. I would hasten to remind you that of the 12 jurors, 11 of them were farmers, and one was a town carpenter here in Hopkinsville who had just moved into town from a lifetime of farming. And so I'll leave you to your own observations relative to the commitment of that jury, but they found him innocent.
I would like you to give me the time sequence then of what was the ultimate effect against the monopoly in relationship to the trial and what happened after the trial?
A very interesting question. You know, it has been said by others, the wheels of justice turn ever so slowly, but they do mete out justice. And at the time the Knight Rider trial was going on, there was an effort afoot by the Justice Department in Washington to get a rendering of a decision that the American Tobacco Trust, the organization of James B. Duke, was in violation of the 1890 Sherman Antitrust Act. And at the time the trial was going on, our trust-busting president some years before, Teddy Roosevelt, had given the government's green light for the Attorney General's office to file suit against the American Tobacco Trust for the violation of that Sherman Antitrust Act. And the Attorney General, who led that effort successfully to break the Duke Trust, was James Clark McReynolds, who was from Caledonia in Trigg County, though he had lived most all of his adult life in Elkton, where he was an attorney, and then in Washington. And in years after this decision by the federal court in New York declaring the American Tobacco Trust in violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act, years later, President Franklin D. Roosevelt would appoint James Clark McReynolds of Caledonia in Trigg County and then Elkton to a seat on the United States Supreme Court. And in the late 1930s, as you remember from your study of history, James Clark McReynolds would become one of the, quote, 9 old men, end quote, at the time that President FDR attempted to pack the Supreme Court. And so it just proves the point, when you're studying history in one phase and location, it is going to tie in like pieces of a puzzle with another time and place.
Did the community heal?
I presume you mean the community throughout the Black Patch.
Yes.
Yes, they gradually healed because when the federal courts declared the American Tobacco Trust in violation, then it was divested, as in the case of Ma Bell a few years ago. And when that happened, then competition reentered the scene, and the price of tobacco gradually began a slow climb upward. See, in 1903, at the beginning of all this trouble, the top price paid for dark tobacco was 6 cents a pound. It cost 6 cents a pound to produce it. Well, you certainly know that farmers don't produce tobacco for the joy of it. Gradually, after the federal decision, the price began to slowly come back up. And by 1915, the year of Dr. Amos's death, the prices were back within the range they had been in 1900. Don't think for a moment they shot high. No. You know, farm commodity prices just don't do that very often.
Were there uprisings like this elsewhere in the country in tobacco-growing areas?
Not to my knowledge. Now, there were at times some farmers up in the Bluegrass who claimed a connection, but I don't have any real proof of it. There were farmers down in the Real Foot Lake area of northwest Tennessee that at times it appeared were on the verge of moving into a similar situation.
Has there been any accounting over the years of property lost due to the actions against farmers?
No, not really. And for this reason, the farmers who became night riders took an oath of allegiance and swore to retain total secrecy. As the years rolled on after the Night Rider War, the Night Rider farmers died off one by one, but they had taken an oath of silence and they maintained it. It was not until 1939 that a physician over in Marion, Dr. James O. Nall, N-A-L-L, wrote the first definitive work on the Night Riders of the Black Patch in western Kentucky and Tennessee. Since that time, quite a number of books have been written, and I would recommend to your listeners two in particular. One would be Riders in the Night, written by Harry Harrison Kroll many years ago, who was on the history faculty at the University of Tennessee, Martin, I believe. And the second and most recent definitive work for people to read and enjoy studying the Night Rider War would be Kentucky Supreme Court Justice Bill Cunningham's book on Bended Knee. Judge Cunningham's book has been really the basis for our reenactment of the Night Rider raid on Hopkinsville.
Mr. Turner, are you going to be a party in the trial?
I possibly will be. I'll certainly be a spectator. I have been the narrator for the Night Rider reenactment, which our museum started in 1976. And we've skipped a few years, but I believe this year is the 30th year that the museum in Hopkinsville has put on the Night Rider raid reenactment. And I'll be right on hand for that trial, if not part of it.
Well, I thank you for taking time with me.
You're most welcome, and I appreciate the interest of your listeners and invite them to Hopkinsville on the fourth weekend of September for our Night Rider War Pilgrimage. We have an entire weekend of activities beginning on Friday night with the two runs of the reenactment, and then a tour of homes on Saturday morning, a Night Rider dinner at one of our local eating establishments, Miss Ann's Tea Room, and then the reenactment of the trial, two runs of that at night on Saturday. And then Sunday afternoon, we'll have a progressive organ recital at various downtown churches that were here in that era. And for your listeners' interest, I would suggest they call the Penroyal Area Museum at Hopkinsville at 270-887-4270 to inquire about the prices for the various events and to put their name on the list, and we'd be so happy for the public to attend.
My impression is, Mr. Turner, that these events sell out.
Yes, they do. Well, in fact, the Night Rider reenactment sells out. Now, the other events are new this year, and we have every indication that they, too, will sell out. But on the Night Rider reenactments, on the Friday night, we'll have upwards of 500 people on straw-baled wagons that we will take around town and show them the various spots and sites where the Night Rider story unfolded. And we'll have a number of individuals who will act out vignettes of the events that occurred at that location.
Big weekend for your community, and I appreciate your sharing with me.
You're most welcome. Call on me anytime. I'll be glad to help if it's in the line of history. And Western Kentucky.